Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Woman at the Well. I am Beverly Black Johnson. I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel, the home of The Woman at the Well, a gumbo for the soul international family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly. But I have to give it all to God because he instilled in me to have this program, and this is Season 8, Episode 2. I am proud to bring a special guest this evening. Frederica Atkins, PhD, will be our guest speaker. She is also the sponsor of today's show. She's going to tell us all about herself. But briefly, I want to let you know that she is an author, keynote speaker, certified transformational coach, and because of the subject content for The Woman at the Well this season, it is more than appropriate to bring this sister on. We are here to discuss specifically emotional wellness and self-care for sisters. And we're not going easy on ourselves or you, because guess what? This sister is also the author of Dump That Shit, a 31-day daily journal to help you remember who you're meant to be. So we have to spark the brain and realize who we are and the power that we walk in. And I know it's Sunday, and I know folks might say, oh, that's too much, but it's even more egregious if we keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. So don't come for me because I cuss in my house. Like I said, created, owned, and operated by yours truly. Now, this book was created to provide readers, or I should say this book was written, the journal, was written to provide readers with a powerful experience that will allow them to create a more fulfilling narrative of self-worth. This potent journaling tool teaches readers how to implement a new internal dialogue to affirm their strengths and capabilities. Guiding readers on a motivational journey of self-discovery, author Dr. Frieda helps readers explore the limiting beliefs that hold them back, forgive personal shortcomings, and celebrate even small moments of success. Dump That Shit is perfect for anyone who underestimates or second guesses their skills and talents. But you don't have to worry about that over here. My crown is on straight, live right here on Tribe Family Channel. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dr. Frieda to The Woman at the Well. How are you, Queen?
I am well. What an introduction. Wow, I love it.
Well, I love the fact that you are a realist, and that's what we have to have. So,
you know, I am.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about yourself as a realist.
Yes, so I am, as you said, I am I'm a published author. I am a certified transformational life coach, and I am a keynote speaker. My PhD is actually in business administration with a focus in strategy and innovation. So the business aspect I can do from start to finish, and that's what I love business. But more importantly, I love working with people, and I love working with people to see that spark go off in their head. And when I say the spark, I mean connecting the dots from being a victim to a victor in their life. And so that's where my transformational life coaching comes in. And I started doing this. Literally, I was certified last year and went through a program. And this program actually was more for myself in my healing journey. And I was able to go into my life purpose of just teaching and healing, or allow people to heal themselves through my words. And so it has just been an amazing journey. And I always am a practitioner of life, because we go through life just practicing just what we think we know, what we think we should do, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work out, and so we learn from it. And so I say I'm a practitioner of life as well. But I currently live in the Bay Area of California, originally from Birmingham, Alabama, by way of Chicago. I stayed there for some years. And so through my just experiences through being a Southern girl at heart, but, you know, living in the Midwest and now on the West Coast, is just, it has been such a journey. And I just love where I can help other people through their journey as well.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I did take a few notes here, and let's start with the victim to victor. What in your journey, like you said, when that light goes off, that awakening, what in your journey is the victim to victor piece? So that our sisters and brothers can understand and realize what you've overcome. Because we know you're walking in your strength right now, but what did you overcome?
Yes, it's, you know, I always say I took the negative word of just failures, because I don't look at failures as a bad thing. I look at it as transformational or a transition and or a learning aspects of our life. And so I've had so many rejections, which is a redirection to where you really need to be. I was married and divorced. I always say that he wasn't a bad person. He just wasn't good for me. And it was a very toxic relationship. He was an alcoholic, and I found out later that he was clinically bipolar. And so it was just, it was very toxic. And, but when you're going through it, you think you're the problem. And so I had to heal. I took it after that transition in my life, I actually took a break from just social media, dating, everything, and for a year. And I just got myself together. And in the interim of that, while I was going through that divorce, I was also pursuing my doctoral degree. But I refused to give up because I guess I'm just programmed differently. It doesn't matter what's going on externally. If I know that I have to accomplish something, I am so mission-driven, I just go straight forward. And so I worked full-time, and I was going through my doctoral program because my parents always taught me, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life if you don't quit. That's just how it is. And so it's just a tool, you know, when people quit and have excuses, I feel like it's a tool of, you know, it's an excuse. And so it was a really, really bad breakup, but I did not quit my journey because I know what I was set to do. I moved back to Birmingham a few years later, and that was another transition part because when I was living in Chicago, I was an executive. I had, you know, my own home, and I was traveling around the world, and I identified myself with things. You know, I picked myself up by my bootstrap after the divorce, and I just recreated myself into this executive boss person. And so, you know, I was like, no one is going to like tear me down. I know who I am and whose I am. But it was a pivotal point in my life where I detached myself from material things because that's not who I am. It was just something that I have accomplished. And so when I moved back to Birmingham, it was a humbling moment for me where when I first moved back, I moved back into my mom's house until I could save up money, and I eventually bought my second home down there. But it was a humbling moment, and I had to go again through another transition, you know, at that point in my life where it's, okay, I'm not this executive person, you know, that's running the Medicare department for the state of Illinois anymore. And, you know, I don't have my own home, and I'm not traveling all over the country or all over the world right now. So who am I? And that was a point in my life where I was starting, I didn't even know that I was starting to write this journal. But it was that point in my, that transitional point in my life, and that was in 2019. And I was just going through my own spiritual journey and, you know, that dark night of the soul. Well, I had to shed who I thought I was into who I know I was meant to be. And so that transition led me to move to California a few years later where my old job actually moved my partner and I out west. And it was amazing because everyone's like, you know, moving out west is going to be expensive. You might not can afford it. And we didn't have to do anything. The company moved us out. They shipped both of our cars. They moved us out and everything. And so it was really a blessing on how once I just relinquished everything. And I just said, you know what, God, do as you will. Like, I am your vessel. Use me as you will. And I was making notes. I was journaling every day. I was listening to different spiritual gurus. I was, you know, meditating, fasting. I was doing everything. And so this transition in 2019 was different from the transition from my ex-husband because it was a different healing. For my ex-husband, it was a healing from I just have to remember who I am because it was so toxic, it broke my self-esteem. So it was just me getting back to self, right? The 2019 transition was remembering that I'm not just material, I'm not just physical. I'm a spiritual being, and I have a purpose in this world. And I need to get back in that purpose. And so those two transitional periods in my life has brought me to this person who I am today. And so when I coach my clients, there is nothing that they can say that is just surprising to me, because I've seen and done so much and been through so much that I can help men and women. I know I say I coach women, but it was at one point that I had more male clients than women clients that I was coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. I can understand that. So, that's believable.
Yes.
You know, because why? Women aren't the only ones that are broken. Every human being, I have a quote that says, everyone is hurting and healing from something. So whether
yes.
you're sitting in the front row with your hat on the mother's board, whether you're in the pulpit, whether you're in the choir, whether you're hanging out on the corner with a liquor bottle, whether you're dragging yourself to the altar, I don't care who you are, where you are, what part of the world you're in, what you've accomplished, how many titles you have in front or after your name, that means nothing to what you're hurting and healing from. So first I want to thank you for sharing the seasons of your journey, because you broke it down into the different timelines of when I would say you had the curves and the bends in the road of your journey. And in those experiences, you were going through things that actually refined your spiritual self so that what you could get back to the pure nature of who Dr. Frieda is. And when we find ourselves after going through the different experiences and what we've overcome, we become even more emboldened to simply
yes.
be who we were called to be. We are born in this world, but we're not of it. But it's because of the socialization and the influences that we're born into. We're born into different seasons where there's the generations that are serving certain gods, deities, religions, practices, family traditions, and the one thing that I can say is by you being a Southern girl, because you mentioned those Southern roots, my minister and mentor is the leader of the Tuvalu Nine, led, trained, and mentored by Megger Wiley Evers. He is Reverend Dr. Mm-hmm. Joseph Jackson Jr. And that man told me, he asked me, he said, well, what's the last time you've been back to the South? I said, I've never set foot in the South. And he put me under a microscope, and he examined me, metamorphically speaking. He interviewed me on the air. And he came back with the conclusion that it was my Southern roots. Now, I'm born in San Francisco, but my people are from the South. So I'm listening to you, and I can define right away your socialization is those Southern roots. Going to Chicago, building yourself into the executive is the strength of rebranding yourself as an entrepreneur, faking it until you make it, putting on the bold face of living in this world and maintaining and doing what somebody had to do the job, okay? So, sister, you were doing the job. You were traveling the world, and you did what you needed to do for you. When that journey started to run out, because God will trouble the water, and you will know when it is time for you to get up to where you are. And you made the adjustments on your journey through each season, you went back to the South. And I was like, mm-hmm, she went back to them Southern roots, y'all. Went back to the foundation, see? Oh, my goodness. And see, that's
yes.
why I connected so much with my minister, is because he's from Tennessee. But I've never set foot in the South, so what is it? It's my socialization. Because of
mm-hmm.
the parents that raised me. And so I appreciate you going through the journey of your journey towards self-healing. So you mentioned also earlier in your introduction, your my healing journey. Your words I wrote down, my healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through your words. Now, we know words have power. Like I told my minister, I don't let anyone speak over me. I told him, this man is 86 years old. When he was about 80 years old, I told him, I have allowed you to speak over me. He said, what kind of, who? He didn't really know me, but he wanted to know, who do I think I am? Lady, I didn't ask to speak over you, but I have allowed you to, you see. Because he was on the radio show with me, and I listened to his principles and his foundation, and I could connect with the Southern man because of my Southern socialization, my parents and my grandparents. So now through your words to self-healing comes this journey that you just explained and the journal that you've written, that you've authored. So expound for us, how did you come up with the title? And let us know what it means to walk down that path, because you've had to have done the work to write the journal. Okay. So what is that about? What was that soul work that you did in getting that journal out?
Yes. So the work that I was doing, so this is an ongoing process, and I tell my clients this too. You know, you're never going to stop growing, and you're never going to stop learning as a person, or let me say you shouldn't. And so my second transition in life started in 2019, and I continued that even to this day. And so I am very, you mentioned about speaking over your life. I am very intentional with the words that I speak, because your words are life. You know, it's life or death in the power of your tongue, right? And so when I tell even my friends or family members, you're manifesting everything in your life by your words, you know? And so whether it's good or bad, and you don't know, sometimes people are unconsciously manifesting what they don't want, and so because of their words. And so part of my healing journey, and I do this to this day, is the words that I speak about myself and about other people, because I can't say one thing and then energetically want something else. It just doesn't work that way. That's not the laws of life. And so When I have a client that speak that say, well, I can never, or I can't do this, or I struggle with this, or I'm not good, those words are self-defeating words. And so I cut a mid-sentence, you know, and I say we use empowering words, okay? And so When you speaking those words over, it is building your life. And so some people, I have some clients that say, my life is not where I want it to be. Change it. That simple as that. And you start with your words. And as a writer, I know how powerful words are. I used to always make the joke, like, so it's my sister and I, and we're 7 years apart, and I was never a fighter. Like, my voice is very husky, but I'm literally scratching 5 even. I'm 4'11", 5 even, okay? I am a tiny, tiny person. I'm very petite. So my
I hit a firecracker in you. You ain't fooling nobody.
I am a firecracker. My sister was the one that was like, she ready to fight. Me, I had to figure this out. So I've always used my words. And my words have gotten me out of a lot of fights. So a lot of conversations. So I know the power of your words. And so when I was coming up with the title of this journal, I was thinking really, really hard. I said, okay, the cover is something that will attract a person to even purchase it or even want to even read it. And so I was thinking, the content is so heavy. what is something that resembles a heaviness without saying a yoke around your neck, right? And so I was thinking, okay, when you're bagged up or you come out of surgery and they give you like all those antibiotics and all those drugs and stuff, you get bagged up and you feel horrible. And so I was thinking metaphorically, that's how life is. When trauma and, you know, unhealed transitions in your life and you're becoming this bag lady or this bag man and you're just carrying all this weight, it resembles when you're not going to the bathroom and releasing yourself. And so when you're not having going to the bathroom and releasing your bowels, everything is bagged up. Your organs are not functioning properly. You have breakouts in your skin. You're in a bad mood. You're irritable. It's everything that's crumbling, right? Because you don't feel good. You don't feel yourself. So that's the same way metaphorically when life continues to dump these lessons that you need to learn and you're not learning and you're just continuing to go on and you're making them into you become this bag lady or this bag man. So that's when I said, okay, we need to dump that shit. Like metaphorically and literally just dump it.
Yeah.
And so you can start having your pathways of healing moving. You need to move that to get that process moving along. And I was very intentional. And it's the words that we speak. And it's like, if you look at the weight that you're holding in your life, it is synonymous with the weight that's bagged up in your body. If you let it get to that point,
and so you can bring yourself to sickness. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, you can. No, you're exactly right. You can literally, stress is now one of the top five killers because it's silent and you don't even know that you are stressing, which you are putting this extra stress on your organs, your central nervous system, and you don't even know why. Your hair falling out, your face breaking out, you know, you can't sleep, you irritable, you can't keep a relationship, and you wonder why people want to be around you. It's because you have to take a look. That's what I always say. Stop being the victim and be the victor. It's only so many times that you can point the finger at other people. You have to look in the mirror and point it to yourself because even if someone is always doing something wrong to you, then it goes back to self because you're not setting those boundaries. You might be manifold in your life, or it might be God saying, okay, I'm trying to teach you this lesson, so I'm going to continue to let you continue to repeat these lessons in different forms and different people until you figure it out. And so the journal is dump it. Stop making excuses. Stop playing the blame game and dump it and transform yourself. So when you transform your mind, you can start transforming your life. And that's when you can start seeing the manifestation of the relationship you want, the job you want, that home, that car, whatever you're trying to achieve, it starts with self always.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your expounding on that. And you said a couple of times, you don't even know that you're doing this and you don't even know. And I'm going to push back just a little because I feel intuitively we do know and we ignore it. We have a energy cannot lie. So we tell ourselves what we want to hear so that we can manage through the pain. And everything that you described as far as being backed up, that goes to being spiritually constipated, having that blockage where we cannot think beyond what's troubling us, the things that we are not facing, the introspect that we don't give to ourselves because we're so tied up in our duties, our outward duties. We're executives. We have to keep the company running. We have clients. We have children. We have spouses. Everything externally that's dependent upon us, as though the world is going to stop if we were to stop to simply take care of ourselves. No, your world is going to stop if you don't stop and take care mm-hmm. of yourself. And I am real big on self-care. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to The Woman at the Well. I'm Beverly Black Johnson. You're listening to Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. Dr. Frieda is our guest today. And as you can hear, she is building that foundational spiritual work through her journey towards self-healing by giving us her testimony on becoming a victor and not a victim. And so I really appreciate that. Now, you said you are a practitioner of life, and I like to think that as well. One of the things that I also heard in what you previously mentioned is more or less, I'll paraphrase, but it's more or less walking our talk. If we're not manifesting the things that we want, we're at odds with our walk. If you're walking towards the beach because you want to be at the beach, you're going to eventually arrive at the beach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, because I want you to drop the gems. I know what I know. I don't know what you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so you know, going back earlier when I was saying about we manifesting, sometimes people do it unconsciously, because I ask the question to everybody. The first thing when you wake up, what's the first thing most people do? I'm not saying you specifically. And some people say, well, I reach for my phone. When you reach for your phone, what you looking at? You're looking at social media. Some people look at their bank account. And you having these same dialogues in your head again, like, oh, this check went through. Hey, I don't have enough money.
you're manifesting. Over here.
But you know it's true, because we've all done it, like, oh, man, it's raining. That means traffic going to be bad. How do you even, like, you are literally manifesting mm-hmm. a bad day, right? And people do it subconsciously mm-hmm. all the time. We don't know, like, okay, when the pastor said, you know, we're gonna take up a special offering. Well, I can't afford it. Well, how you already said that I'm broke, so you already manifested like, oh, well, I'm broke. You see, and it's just like, I remember when I was in grad school and I was looking for a job. Excuse me, and I didn't have. But it was like 8 cents in my, I am not exaggerating. It was like 8 cents in my wallet. And the pastor said, you know, we're going to do a special offering, and it's going to be a faith offering. I went up to that altar like I had $1 million in my pocket, because I was manifesting. I was like, I have it. It's just not in the physical realm yet. And so I went up to that altar with my 8 cents, and I put it on that altar. Okay. And so that's what I'm telling you.
No, that's right.
You have to change the dialogue that you're telling yourself, because you're manifesting everything. When people are like, oh, my leg hurt. No, I am a body of health, okay? I have more than enough, exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or dream of, right? I am speaking those words. So when people are like, oh, I'm getting too old, age is nothing but a number. You are speaking these things every day, and you wonder why nothing has changed. It's not going to change. And so when I say I'm a practitioner of life, I practice every single day. I take up my cross every day. I'm a practitioner every single day of life, because I monitor my words. I even monitor what I'm listening to, whether that's a podcast, whether that's music, whether if it's somebody, and I don't, none of my friends are even like this, to be honest, because I've always kept a small friend.
I got to say something. Let me say something. See, none of your friends are like that. This is what I'm talking about. When
I'm very selective.
This is because what you are saying is so true about the unconscious, but I'm talking about the conscious. I'm talking about the mm-hmm. intuitiveness of knowing. And just like you said, none of your friends are like this, because they don't think like you think, because consciously, intentionally, intuitively, and It takes growing to this level. So I really do, I take back some of my pushback from you because it is so true. We've all done what you described. You know, I couldn't say that I didn't wake up and grab my phone and social media and all did the check clear and who, Lord, 8 cents. I've had one penny. I said, well, this is all. The lady with 12 cents gave her all. I'm going to put this little 2 cents up in here and maybe they're taking up the offering for me. I don't know. You never know.
Exactly.
Like you said,
exactly.
Those in the intentions. See, you've grown, and I have grown because I haven't always been as firm in my beliefs that I'm walking in now. I'm 64 years young, and so I'm at that age and stage. I'm at that age and stage where, you know, we're not passing off the unintentional thoughts and words and deeds. We're going to put your foot to the fire. We're going to call a thing a thing. We're going to see if that takes maturity. And so I'm speaking from a point of maturity when I say people know, because intuitively, and I'll give a few examples of what people I feel know. I feel that people, I just wrote a quote today. I'm an author. I'm a publisher. I'm the publisher of Gumbo for the Soul Publications. We're 20 years in now, and I've been quoting, writing poetry all my life, right? So, you know, because when you have this thing with words, you engineer them into what you want to manifest. So it may sound easy for some, harder for others, and there's no judgment passed. But there was a time when I didn't think with the intention. I didn't act with the intention. I didn't have the emotion. But the examples of the consciousness that I was going to describe is when you know you're not operating in your full potential. When you have that self-doubt, but you know what's planted down inside of you. You know what you can do, because guess what? People have pushed the can't, what you cannot do, what you cannot achieve, and we've stuffed it and stuffed it and stuffed it and stuffed it and stuffed it until it goes back to what you were saying. Now we have all this stuff in us, and it's weighing us down physically and spiritually and emotionally, going back to what I said, spiritually constipated. So back to your book, dump that shit. Because if we don't dump it out, if we don't get it out, if we're too spiritual or religious, and ooh, she said shit on the radio on the woman at the well. I did. Yes, I did. Okay. And I will get even realer. Because if we cannot be profound, intentional, and real, we are going to stay blind. We're going to always be the sheep. People like to say the kingdom of God was taken by force, but they don't like to fight. Now, you were talking about your sister. I bet you your sister will handle it. Okay? And I'll be right there with her. Okay? Let's handle this then. Okay? Because what I'm not going to do is allow anybody to speak lack over me. But let's talk about how we minimize, being a practitioner of life, how we minimize the power that we walk in to compensate for someone else's lack. I've been married, okay? I've walked in my power, but guess what? My crown has been, you know, knocked crooked more times than not. It's because of allowing it to happen. When I stopped allowing it to happen, guess what? It stopped happening. If I start killing you with kindness, you better watch out, okay? You know, okay? And that's what I did in marriage and through divorce, okay? Because at the end of the day, I am a principled woman, and it is my character and how I allow someone to treat me that's at stake and that is on display. The world sees how we allow people to treat us. So this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, with Dr. Frieda is about emotional wellness and self-care for sisters. That's why we're being blatantly honest, because the world runs to sisters, okay, when it needs uplifting. When a church needs uplifting, they go to the sisters, the mother board, the sister board, the deaconess board, every board that a sister running so many boards, she can't even hardly hold herself up straight, okay? Politicians, when they want that office bad enough, oh, they're coming to the sisters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? When the brothers really, really, really get down enough to where they want to recognize, they run right back to the sisters. Okay, I can name celebrities. They run right back to black. So I am addressing emotional wellness and self-care for sisters. We are the ones at threat. We have the lowest birth rates and the highest mortality rates among women. We are the ones that lack the protections. We got brothers turning into others and leaving us unprotected. Yes, I said it and I meant it, and I'm here to represent it. So don't come for me, and if you want to, but if you want to come for me, go ahead and dial 515-605-9741. Press 1 when you enter the queue, and I will see your hand up, and I will open your line, because you do not have to agree with me, but I will maintain my position and stance on everything that I am speaking of. So back to my guest, Dr. Frieda. Give us the tools that works best for you when it comes to emotional wellness and self-care.
So I think self-care and emotional wellness, they're both synonymous, but in order to address any of that, you have to have self-awareness. And none of this is going to work until you understand self-awareness. Each human operates. Your consciousness is only 5% of what you're operating out of. You operate 95% from your subconscious, scientifically. And so when you say, it's just, I use the example, when you're driving on a freeway and you look up and you're like, man, I didn't even realize I'm this far down the road. It's because you literally went into your subconscious. You're consciously driving the car because it's like you're in autopilot. Like consciously, you know, wake up, get dressed, brush your teeth, eat breakfast, drink your coffee, go to work. Consciously, you know that. Subconsciously, it's running your life where you're thinking, oh, my God, I hope it's not traffic. I got this meeting. I'm fearful. I got a speech. I hope the kid's not going to be running late today. I hope the daddy come pick him up on time. You know, whatever. That's the subconscious in your mind, right? And that is what truly is dictating, okay? So what we have to, so when I'm coaching people, I'm talking – consciously, they're showing up, but I'm talking to their subconscious, right? And so when I'm talking about self-care, what works for me is not going to work for everyone else, because we're not cookie cutters. So for me, Monday through Friday, I wake up at 4 o'clock, and I have an accountability call with one of my best friends, and we hold each other accountable, because at the end of every year, we do our vision boards. And so from our vision boards, we break down by month what we're going to accomplish that following year. And so we meet every Monday through Friday at 4 a.m. It's 6 a.m. her time, but she's in Chicago, 4 a.m. my time because I'm in the Bay Area. And so we go over what we have planned that day, what we're going to do that week, and how is that going to contribute to our overall vision board for that year. And so from there, I'm going to be in the process of writing my second manuscript. So I'll stay up, dedicate 2 hours for that, and then I'll work out or walk around the lake, or my boyfriend and I will go downstairs. We have a gym in our building. We'll go work out, and then I get dressed, and then I work a 9-to-5. And so I'm ready for that. Then I can come back, and then I can coach my clients. And so I take off my 9-to-5 hat and put on my coaching, you know, my coaching hat. But my self-care is in that morning time. I start each day focusing on Frieda, because when Frida hits that world, you know, I can set boundaries with the people that try to come into my inner vortex. But when I hit the world and when I'm talking to people outside of my four walls, I have to be ready for that. And so my self-care comes with my journaling, getting grounded in self, remembering who I am, doing reading, listening to podcasts, going to the gym. If I prefer to walk around the lake, then I'm, you know, I'm getting grounded in nature. So that is my self-care for that. But I always tell people, because there's so many barriers that specific women of color we have to address. And one of the things is the financial constraints. Like, oh my goodness, I can't afford it, because everybody thinks self-care is going to the spa. Self-care is so much more than that. Actually, I actually like to say self-care starts internally, and that's all free. You know, there's nothing, you can go on YouTube and find positive affirmations. You know, I have, so in my journal, each day is 31 days. It takes, what, 20 days to learn a behavior. Each day is an affirmation to break a habit. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's each day is starting with the affirmation. It's an affirmation or positive words or phrases to talk to your subconscious. Because consciously, you can say, I am beautiful. And consciously, you're like, oh, I don't even feel beautiful. Because you're looking at yourself consciously. But you're talking to your subconscious. Because you are beautiful, but you have to let your subconscious know which is ruling your life. And so I tell people, you don't have to spend $100 to $200 for self-care. You can literally walk to a park. You can wake up an hour early and just journal how you feel. You can purchase my journal and go through that 31 days. You can do stretches, even if you have a studio apartment. You can do stretches in your living room. So you can make time. It's just people are predisposed to or attracted to excuses versus being accountable, okay? And so then another barrier that we have to overcome for choosing ourselves first is this stigma of holding the world on your shoulder. You know, well, my grandmother did it, my mother did it, so, you know, we're just strong. Yes, we are strong, but that doesn't mean that we have to live in fear and trauma. Because it's breaking us down, and it's being passed to before, which means it's being passed to generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to ask for help. It's okay. But we're so conditioned and domesticated to being taught to not ask for help because it's a sign of weakness. No, the sign of weakness is not asking for help, okay? Then we have and that goes into the culture beliefs. You know, well, we don't, you know, we can handle it at all. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And it's okay. It's okay to ask and to say, I just need help. I need help. And that's what we have to get in the habit of asking. And I'm not saying specifically from your spouse, or I'm talking about from the God Almighty. Like, God, I need help. I remember yesterday I had a seminar, and I literally had my dolly with all my materials. And it just, like, tumbled over. And I was like, you know what? I said, God, I need help. I don't know what you got to do, but I am far from that front door, and I need help. And out the blue, my coworker came out and helped me. And it's just, you know, we're just so – we're conditioned to not ask for help. And then we say, like, I don't have any help. What have you asked for? You know, and are you able to receive it if it – and are you able to recognize it if it comes to you, right? And then the lack of time, mm-hmm. when people say, well, I'm just busy. You know, I'm a single parent, or I got to work. I have so much stuff to do. Trust me, I get it. I am very busy, but I prioritize my time for myself, which is why I wake up earlier while everyone else is still sleeping. And so you have to make that time, because I always tell people, if you don't treat your body good, your body is going to tell you when you're going to slow down, and you don't want that to happen.
You don't want to get that message.
No, you don't. You don't. And so I just think that once we have that self-awareness and have those inner dialogue, those open, honest, transparent conversations with ourselves, that's when the real healing and the real self-care can come in, and stop using those excuses, because you don't have to go to a yoga studio. You can do yoga from – I do yoga right in my living room. From YouTube, okay? And I don't even have a YouTube subscription, so I get all the ads. I just click skip ad when it comes up. So I made that time.
Yes, yes. Well, we are running out of time, so I'm going to jump in here with you and say hallelujah, and I second everything that you have just shared with us, because not only are you committed to making that time for yourself, you set the intentions and you set the boundaries. I like what you said about your vortex and if you allow someone in your vortex. And see, we have to set boundaries, protections, principles, and all of that comes from introspect, getting to know yourself and who you are. Now, I said earlier that I write quotes. Today I dropped the quote, reevaluate yourself. You're worth more than you think. That's what I want everyone listening to understand. You're worth more than you think. I coach authors, writers, business persons. I pour back into ministers. Business partners. You're from Chicago. You know Marshall Thompson of the Shylights. He's the last man standing. And that is the last book that we dropped out of Gumbo for the Soul, Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shylights. The foreword is by Dr. Otis Williams of The Temptations. These are the business partners that I speak into. And one of the things that I always correct A-list or layperson, children. It doesn't matter. I work with A-listers to children. I have had children, a 12-year-old, co-hosting a radio show with me, because we all have something that someone else needs to know, learn, or we can grow from and share. But I strike words like just and little when I'm speaking and coaching, because these, like you said earlier, words are so powerful. And when we, you know, I hope it's not going to be any traffic. Ooh, let me check my bank account. I know it's not much. You know, the different things that you were stating earlier that we subconsciously speak over ourselves, that's why we have to be engaged so vividly and so earnestly into who we are, because we have to break these subconscious and subliminal messages that we send into our own psyche. And then we wonder why we out here going through this or going through that. Well, you said way back there before you even left the house, you know, that you wasn't for no mess out of this office today. And guess what? That mess was waiting for you. Instead of you just enjoying your ride, ooh, Lord, thank you. I have a job on my way to work. Look at our sky. Feel the sunshine on me. You know, getting up and waking up in and of itself is the blessing. So we do that subconsciously. We don't know that we're going to wake up. We don't know the day, the time, or the hour. So when we go to bed at night, we need to shed the troubles of this day and wake up and embrace a new day. Troubles don't last always. Now, the song at the beginning is C.C. Winans' Alabaster Box. And I am going to play it in its entirety. But first, I want you, Dr. Frieda, to let our listeners know a plethora of things that I'm going to ask you. But first, thank you so much for sponsoring this episode, season 8, episode 2 of The Woman at the Well. I will be back, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, with another episode. And my guest at that time will be Charlotte Farrell. She is an author, entrepreneur. She's also a contributor, longtime contributor to our anthologies, Gumbo for the Soul. We have a plethora of books out. Our website is gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. For the meantime, because I'm cutting ties with all of these subscription services. And so you will have to get in touch with us on all these different social media accounts. Facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. You can listen to the archives here at our studio, blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Gumbo for the Soul, Tribe Family Channel. The Woman at the Well is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly. Now, Dr. Frieda, thank you so much for dropping gems and giving us tools that we can use to manifest our best selves. I really love and appreciate that. I want to thank you once again. I want you to let our listeners know, one, your website, two, how they can reach out to you, and three, where can we purchase Dump That Shit, the 31-Day Journal?
Yes, so my website is www.thedrfrieda.com, and is DR, is not spelled out, doctor, so it's www.thedrfrieda.com. You can also reach me there as well, because I have a form that you can, it'll come directly to my personal email, so you can reach out to me there or on Instagram at @the_doctor. Excuse me. I always get Instagram and Facebook mixed up. It is Dr._Frieda_coaching. And you can purchase my journal at Amazon, on Amazon.com.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much once again. It has just been very enlightening. And I want to go to your Instagram right quick just before we hang up, because I know that a lot of people do use Instagram. So you're absolutely right. Dr._Frieda_coaching. So be sure to hit up Dr. Frieda. And in between Dr. Frieda and coaching, hit that underscore. You're going to see her big, beautiful, bright smile. She's very professional. She's a wellness coach, a transformational life coach, certified and ready to take you to the next level. So don't be afraid. Shed those grave clothes and be ready for the next level of your life. And if you want to get in touch with me, I'm Beverly Black Johnson. You can visit us at facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel, T-R-I-B-E, Family Channel. Tribe stands for talents, respect, inspiration, beauty, empowerment. These are the things that make up well sisters. And I want to see us all matriculate our own emotional wellness and self-care spiritually, physically, and mentally. So please do so. Take care of yourself. Take care of those that you love. God bless you, Dr. Frieda. Thank you so much for being our sponsored guest. And we will see you all next time, or we will hear you all next time on The Woman at the Well. God bless. Take care.
Thank you again.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. she came through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said to her, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, died to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash your feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. To the sin that had me bound, I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I come to pour my praise on him like if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the
Family Channel.